back on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Nick McNamara. Here in studio with me is Assistant Professor of Communication Studies and Assistant Director for the Institute for Civic Democracy, or Civic Discourse and Democracy, Tim Schaefer. And we were talking about a lot of different things, but locally there's an important topic that, you know, it's been a few weeks, but it's on my mind always, you know, being affected personally by it, but I'm sure it's on everyone else's mind. We recently had the flash flooding incident on Labor Day in Wildcat Creek. And, you know, for these things, they're very personal for the people affected, of course. You mm-hmm. know, they're also a political and a social issue as well in relation to that. But just from personal experience, I went to the city commission meeting immediately after that, the next day, rather. And I saw a number of folks coming out completely, and maybe even rightfully so, enraged by the situation. Mm-hmm. And that rage outpoured towards the commissioners. And I guess my question is, how do we go about, and not always, you can't always be civil in certain situations, especially when you're so wrapped up and so, you know, personally affected by issues and you have your emotions and they're oftentimes valid. How do you go about having a productive discussion on these topics when it's so personal?
Yeah. What you just named there at the very end, sometimes it's hard to be civil is absolutely true, right? Especially when you're really feeling immediately and personally affected by something that's significant, like that. There's an honesty there. There's a rawness, and a lot of critics of deliberative democracy, for example, the kind of academic field and the field of practice that I situate in, those are the critiques that people offer. Is that, you know, this idea that we're all going to just kind of come in and sit down and talk through in a very measured way that everything we're going to say is going to be grounded in information that we can back up, with either reports or kind of citations, if you will, if you want to think of that. That's not always going to happen. And the example that you note, right, the flooding of Wildcat Creek is a real issue, right? So it's one thing to talk about kind of political divisions or tensions in this kind of national discourse way. In real ways, you know, the phrase of, you know, politics is local. This is where it becomes very much an applied situation, and I think there is an opportunity for elected officials, both in the city but also in the county, to think, how do we respond to this not in just some kind of knee-jerk way or the way that we might be expected to do, but how do we engage in ways that are as inclusive and participatory as possible, acknowledging that there are people who have a lot at stake, right? The folks who were in apartment buildings that now don't have apartments to live in, the developers who, you know, for all sorts of reasons built where they did, right? And there was there was an allowance for that, and those kinds of factors. So then we start getting into kind of regulations and planning, those kinds of factors. You know, what are the environmental concerns? You know, it's, as we're seeing it in lots of other parts of the country, and around the world, these 500,000-year events that are happening either back-to-back years or just a couple years apart, you know, we have to acknowledge that there are these things that are affecting and changing climate that we haven't always thought about or considered in significant or robust ways. And so there are ways that we can try to encourage some conversation, whether those are kind of listening sessions, if you want to have some minimal participation, all the way to this highly involved and participatory way. And lots of governments, and this is part of what the research I do later this fall, I'll be with some colleagues who do similar work across the country, and city managers and others who have taken pretty seriously the idea that people are able to be informed and engaged in those ways, that it's not just a decision that needs to be made by a small panel of people, but if you have greater buy-in, there's a greater understanding, and it's often you're not just walking out the door with everything you want. That's a big part of what this deliberative process is, right? You're literally weighing options, right? That's the root of that word, comes from that notion of, how do we weigh these tensions and trade-offs? And I might get a little bit of what I want, but I'm going to have to give some things up. And the various other vantage points, because it's not just this side or that side, but there's a lot of nuance to it, others are going to have to do that as well. And so if you can utilize some process, and this sounds, you know, this is where I start to sound kind of wonky as a professor, but if you can utilize some process that actually engages and includes people in that, then they have a different sense of like, okay, I don't agree with everything that's going on, but I can understand why did the city allow development to happen in a floodplain, for example? What are the implications? How might we think about the other neighboring communities or the other major factors in the county, for example, that have some implications here? We have to attend to those. And how do you have some kind of process that allows them all to have some ways to contribute and to help inform the process? And so, yeah, so the Wildcat Creek, I think that issue is a really good example of what a lot of us who study this find, that, you know, it's the localized thing. It's the issue that transcends, are you conservative or liberal on this, right? It's not just that. It's where politics, I think, gets at its kind of essence and the heart of it, is that people are struggling with making some decisions. And here's a chance in a very real way for this particular community here to kind of chart a path forward, because something needs to be done. What do we do? Well, that's a chance for people of all walks and experiences and titles to be able to come into the process.
And real quickly, is it, I know I've had a lot of emotions regarding all of this. How productive, and sometimes you can't really eschew these emotions, you know, especially as I said, something so personal. Is there really a productive aspect to coming out so emotionally and voicing yourself so, you know, in sometimes angry ways? Can that be productive?
Yeah, I mean, in one basic way, very quickly, it can be cathartic, right? I mean, you have that opportunity. And sometimes that rawness, that authenticity of speaking in those ways can be really important. I think that's where, how do you create an environment where it doesn't just have to be this really kind of stoic classic, I'm just going to kind of sit and talk in the ways that I'm talking right now, right? That you're going to have some emotion, some passion that's behind what you're doing. Sometimes issues are a little too hot to try to touch real quickly. So we may not talk about Wildcat Creek in the next couple weeks, but maybe in a number of months is the appropriate time. How do you find that sweet spot between things are too raw and waiting too long?
Very good. That's Assistant Professor of Communication Studies, Assistant Director for the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy at K-State, Tim Schaefer. Thanks for coming in.
It's good to be here. Thanks.
Of course. Coming up next, we'll be talking with UFM Education Coordinator Kayla Savage and Mary Schwab of the Manhattan Public Library regarding Talk 20 MHK. Stay tuned for more in focus on the video of KMAN.